Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 109 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Diltaka. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the podcast, kind of an emergency podcast. Obviously, it hasn't been 2 weeks. We do them every 2 weeks. But there's some stuff going on we need to talk about. So that's the reason why you're seeing one right now. But before we get started, I'm going to give you the kind of the whole rundown in a second. But before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Vortex, the Force of Optics. Thanks to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate all their help. You can check out all their great gear at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And of course, our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there. If you haven't heard of them before, or you're not aware of their work, go to saskriversseci.com. So that's saskriversseci.com and find out why they're such great friends of all of us here in the community. All right. Episode 109. I'm not going to say much at all. I'm going to go right over and get Tracy on Skype because we have to talk about some things that have gone on in the Conservative Party of Canada for various reasons. Tracy decided to go down to the trucker convoy and see what was going on for herself, despite what she's hearing in the mainstream media. I'll explain why she's doing that when I get Tracy on. And then we're going to talk about some of the discourse from the mainstream media, from other Canadians, of what's all going on, and the contrast between and politicians, the contrast between what's really happening and what's being portrayed to Canadians that can't just simply get in the car like Tracy Wilson can and drive downtown and to Wellington Street and find out for herself. There's a real difference between those two things. And the reason why it's relevant to us is because we've been living that reality for the past 7 years at the CCFR and longer than that as gun owners. And now this is such a great, glaring example of that, that I think it's something that we should pay attention to or at least talk about for a little while. So that's it. I'm going to bring Tracy on right now. All right. On the Skype, we've got Wilson. Wilson!
Well, hi from the nation's capital, Giltaka. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well for living in an alternate reality.
Yeah, we're an upside down world.
Upside down world. It's just total lunacy. There's so many lunatics and they're so loud. And I'm not talking about the honking. You know, it's the anti-honking. It sounds a little bit like screeching brakes. But anyway, okay. Big news from the Conservative Party of Canada. Obviously, Erin O'Toole was ousted as leader. I'm not going to comment on that because that's really not our job. But I guess inarguably the most popular Conservative MP in the country right now, Pierre Poilievre, has decided to step forward and put his name forward for leader of the Conservative Party of Canada.
Yeah, that's right. So in the meantime, we have interim leader Candace Bergen, who was appointed and voted on by her members of parliament to lead the party until they have a leadership race. So far, there's only one candidate, and I'm not entirely sure how many people are going to try and take a kick at that can. But yeah, Pierre Poilievre, longtime Ottawa area MP. He's the only blue riding in a sea of red. Very, very popular in his riding, as well as, of course, online. I think his announcement video on Twitter is up to 4 million views or something crazy. It's big, big news for the party, for Canadians, for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you had mentioned before that Jerry Butts had foreshadowed a little bit and said, this time it's different or something.
Yeah. So there's a tweet that went up this afternoon, a tweet thread by Jerry Butts, personal best friend of the prime minister. And he was talking about how it's kind of different this time. And, you know, Pierre's in a completely different league. And, you know, he said Canadians are by far like the least partisan people. So like, don't be overly surprised to see him be the next prime minister. And I was sort of like, oh yeah, yeah. they're preparing for a loss already, and we're not even there yet. So it's delicious.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. And he should be yeah. concerned because Pierre has he has the an approach, and I think the key to winning is to keep this approach, but he has the approach that is the antithesis of Justin Trudeau. He'll answer a question. Yep. He'll answer the question that was put to him. You know, if you say, hey, what'd you eat for lunch? He's like, we have Canadians' backs and we're listening to the science. You're like, what? Like Trudeau is.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's a really thoughtful guy. He's very smart, very political. He's been doing this a long time. And yeah, it's very.
Well, I think Canadians exciting. Are sick of this android, Justin Trudeau, who just spouts talking points and then hides. Like, there's a, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Justin,
you know,
hiding.
There's a declare a state of emergency, and then this guy freaking hides. He's got nothing to say, and he sends out like,
yeah,
what's that, Omar Al-Bagra or whatever his name is, that guy, and he's the only one that's talking for the Liberals. It's just like just
yeah, I know.
Anyway, oh, it's, what it's a mess! What a mess! I hope that yeah. Canadians have had enough of this ridiculous alternate reality that we've been living in for the past 7-ish years and reject the Liberal Party worse than they rejected them 3 election cycles ago, where they had like 34 or 36 seats. That's where they belong. They belong as a fringe third yeah. or fourth party. They should be battling for seats with the Greens. So anyway, oh yeah, they've done more damage to Canada in the last few years than in our entire history. More damage in World War II. So anyway, it's just crazy. So good luck to Pierre. I don't know if he'll be opposed by anybody.
Yeah. I don't know. That's that would be a big slice of pizza to try and bite off there. I don't know.
And it's not our job to say, hey, here's your winner. Like we put a lot of effort into not doing that because it's really not our business. Our business is to help any party that will help gun owners that have a chance of winning.
Right.
You know, like this is really, that's your reality as a gun owner, you know, despite whatever you want to get into Twitter fights and whatever. And, you know, he's inarguably the most popular conservative MP. And if I were the party, I'd just save the money for the election and just give it a go, you know?
Yeah. It costs quite a bit of money to run a campaign for a leadership race. And I think that money would be better tucked
just
away.
It's just our opinion, right? Yeah.
That's my personal
opinion. Okay, next. Yeah. So what's going on? We're wading into the trucker convoy. Obviously, it's one of the biggest things that's going, the biggest thing that's happening in Canada right now. And, you know, speaking of effort, trying to stay in our lane, which is important for gun owners. You know, we don't typically comment on what's going on that's not firearm related. But the reason why we're talking about the trucker convoy is you and I, our daily lives are where the truckers are today, where you have the reality of what's going on and you have a completely different, like a 180 degree different portrayal from the mainstream media and from politicians. Like a complete alternate reality being presented for Canadians. And it's, you and I are at home in this world because we have to live it every day, but it's just interesting to see it happening on such a huge scale. So, you know, I relate, you relate, you know, but anyway, having said all that, the point of this little segment is that because you live in Ottawa, you see everything going on in mainstream media, you know, on terrestrial radio and on television and what politicians say, but you live there. So you went down there to see what's real.
Right. So I'm not part of that protest and you know, I'm not affected by mandates or whatever the deal is, why they're here. But you're right. I can't help but watch the parallels, especially when it comes to the media coverage. So sitting here in Ottawa, anybody who knows me knows that I am entrenched in politics. I've got, you know, TV screens in my office. I've got, you know, different news channels going. I've got CPAC on all day. I'm really, really plugged into what's happening, right? So I'm watching all this coverage and I'm like, wow, this is insane. You know, it's the violence in the city and we're under siege. But yet when I go on social media, I'm seeing a completely different view of what's going on in Ottawa. So I said, you know what? I live here. This is my city. It affects me. I'm going to go down there and see what's going on. So I go down there and bring my grandson and my daughter. We started out, we took the O train and went down there. I started out the war memorial. Now, those of you who know, we are a military family. You know, the symbolism of the war memorial means a great deal to me. I was just as upset as everybody else when I saw, you know, some protester or something dancing on top of it. You know, that was denounced by everybody, and she's a wanted fugitive or something at this point. But I thought, you know, that's a good place to start. So I go down there and I, you know, I'm with my grandson. I'm looking around and there's a whole bunch of veterans there. They've got their flags. They're part of the protest. They've sort of formed a guard in front of the war memorial. Domino's Pizza staff were there handing out full whole pizzas free to the veterans and to the people around. There's kids playing, you know, families walking by with strollers and wagons. And, you know, I'm sort of like, okay, well, this doesn't look like what the mainstream media led me to believe. And I thought, okay, well, this is sort of tucked out of the way. If you look at an overview of the map of downtown Ottawa, the war memorial is very close to Parliament Hill, but a couple hundred yards away from where the action is. So I said, okay, guys, grandson grabbed a hold of him. I said, come on, we're going to go right into the belly of the beast. So we wade our way through the crowd without issue. There were literally tens of thousands of people and rigs lined, you know, in a big web all over Wellington Avenue or Wellington Street, right in front of Parliament Hill. And we make our way over to where the stage is. So I'm about 30 feet off the corner of the stage. There's live music, there's DJs, there's, you know, stuff going on. And then they had some speakers. And so I'm in this crowd, tens of thousands of people. They're, you know, most people are all decorated. They've got hats on and streamers and flags and everything. You know, we just went down there just to observe. So I'm checking it out. And it's pretty interesting because you're standing shoulder to shoulder. I you know, I'm not really with anybody I know other than my own kids that were with me, right? And I'm listening to this speaker speak, and he's getting the crowd riled up and everyone's cheering and stuff. And then he says, I just want to say one last thing before I sign off. And he says, you know, look, it's been a really tough 2 years. It's been a really long week. And he says, you guys are doing great. He says, I want you to do something right now. I want you to turn to the stranger beside you or in front of you or behind you. And I want you to give them a word of encouragement. Tell them they're awesome. Tell them to hang in there. Just love each other. And they did. And it was beautiful. Like, I stood there in a sea of strangers, horns blaring, people cheering and laughing, you know, hockey stick flagpoles and signs and silly decorated hats. And it was, this lump came in my throat because I can't explain how it felt. I sort of felt like crying or laughing or screaming all at the same time. In my 50 years on this planet, I've never actually felt like that. And I don't want to sound corny or cheesy. I mean, I'm not an overly emotional person, but these people are not the way the media is making them out to be. So I thought, okay, I want to give a view of what's going on, because from my vantage point, I mean, I'm 5'2". I'm basically looking at the back of heads for as far as I can see. So I say to the kids, come on, let's head up to where the Eternal Flame is. Maybe up a little higher, I can get a better view of what's going on. So we get up there. Ironically, the Eternal Flame was extinguished. There's some symbolism there for sure. And we get up there. I'm doing a live video and I'm like, okay, well, I live here and I just wanted to show you people what was going on. They had a dance party going on. There was an Indigenous drumming circle. Again, families with kids. The crowd would part like the Red Sea and let wheelchairs through. It was chaos, but happiness. It's difficult to really put into the kind of words that really can describe it. And then over in front of the Rideau Center, right on Rideau Street, there's about 400 people doing line dancing to Shania Twain and other Canadian country singers. You know, I'm just looking at this going, wow, that's something to see. I've lived in Ottawa for 30 years and never even seen a Canada Day like that. So we head over across from Parliament Hill. There's a little square there. And normally when Parliament Hill is open and you can take the tours, that's where you would go start the walking tour. So they had set up sort of a makeshift marketplace there. And there was, you know, a tent with hot chocolate and a tent with pizza and a free. Tent with hot dogs and sausages. Free. A free marketplace. There was even a tent that had brand new wool socks, mittens, hats, sweaters. There was a guy, you know, he looked kind of rough, but he had this booth set up and he had wheelbarrows full of Ziploc bags. And in every Ziploc bag was a bottle of water, a Lunchable, some hand warmers, like just a little kit to make sure that you're good and you have the things you need. And flags and kids everywhere. Families dancing. I, you know, saw people kissing like they're falling in love. Like, it was the most bizarre protest that I've ever seen. And I'm politically active. I've been to a few. We hosted one. I've never seen anything like this. So, you know, we decide, okay, I wasn't there to protest. I was there to document it. So I said, okay, we're going to head out. We spent about an hour going around and documenting what we saw. We head back down this, and all the side streets are littered with people with flags and some trucks honking and stuff like that. We go find the LRT to get us back to our car, because, of course, you couldn't get your vehicle downtown. And I said, you know what we're going to do now is we're going to stop at the Coventry Road base camp. They've got a sort of an overflow camp set up there with all their bottles of water, their gasoline. They had just all kinds of stuff. So we head over there and check it out. They had a mountain of firewood like I've never seen. Tents loaded with hundreds of cases of water, food. They had an info booth, like a registration center set up out of hay bales with a tent over it. There was hundreds of big rigs, dozens of farm tractors. Like, this is not a small operation, and I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, that was sort of my experience. I made a video from there as well, just to kind of show some of the organization. And these aren't the people out in front getting the attention on the speaker's podium, but these are the people making sure everybody has what they need, right? And I went home with this strange sense, I don't know if the word is hope or something, but I can tell you, I haven't felt that way all week. I haven't felt that way the last 2 years of this pandemic. In fact, I haven't even felt that way the last 6 years of Liberal rule. It was an incredible feeling inside, and just smiling. And I was really thankful to be able to take my grandson down there to go witness that. And yeah, it is not what they're saying. It really isn't. So basically, my observations were, like, all the things I saw were the indigenous dance circles. There was bouncy castles for the kids. They basically had almost like a carnival type games for them to play. There was a lot of singing, a lot of dancing, a lot of flags and cheering. People were hugging each other that didn't even know each other. It's beyond peaceful. It's something else. Like, it's probably the most positive I've felt.
So how many assaults did you see?
I saw a guy eating a hot dog. like he hadn't seen food in weeks.
Yeah,
he assaulted
Were there bouncy castles? Like, was there a trucker hiding in there? And when the kids go in, the trucker beats them up and breaks their toys? Is that what was actually really happening?
None of that. No, just squealing kids, yeah. Just having the time of their lives.
Any fascists? Russian spies? Any KGB, FSB agents circulating around trying to provoke some kind of insurrection or an overthrow of the Canadian government? Anything?
No, just people not wanting to live like this anymore.
And you know, it's funny. I saw a tweet from this shameful, despicable person which says a lot for Vancouver that they elected Kennedy Stewart. And he's yapping, shooting his mouth off on Twitter, as all responsible politicians should be doing, right? Just shooting your mouth off and picking a side, right?
Oh,
and
right.
He put hashtag hate convoy. Like, the the disconnect from reality, how this lunatic, this absolute lunatic among a sea of absolute, unmitigated, incorrigible lunatics that we have in Canada right now, total insane madmen and women, you know, and just their ability to look at something and see something so completely different and something, you know, and oh, the arson, yeah. Right? The arson story.
Yeah. So there's a story that sort of came out on Twitter yesterday, and this is crazy. It was this tweet thread, and I read it, and apparently there's a guy who lives in a downtown apartment building. He had some video or some stills from surveillance cameras. And the claim is that there's a person that went into the lobby of their apartment building with some of those fire starter little bricks.
Because there's no gasoline or diesel anywhere in that area to start a real apartment fire. There's right. And wood and piles of wood. You could not find a pile of wood or a gas can yeah. anywhere in downtown Ottawa in order to start a real apartment fire. You got to find some little frickin' fire starter sticks.
Fire starter. Yeah. So the story is that this person who apparently is, you know, they just assumed it was part of the convoy, went into this apartment building, lit these things on fire. Used something to lash the door.
It was tape or something. It was tape, they were saying.
Assuming that. Yes, tape or something. Tape the door handles shut, which of course would lock all the residents inside the building with this fire raging. So that's pretty serious. Yeah. Like if something like that happened, that would be national news. I mean, you know, some guy peed down a back alley between two apartment buildings and it was on global national news for 2 days straight. So you'd think this
hey,
would
dude,
be
hey, dude, somebody showed up with a Confederate
story, right?
flag, almost got his ass kicked by the truckers. Like, and that was yeah. everywhere.
Oh, yeah. We're still talking about it. Yeah. Yeah. So in any event, this person who, you know, supposedly witnessed this. Oh, and the arsonist stopped midway through committing this act to advise them that he is part of the protest. Right. And then continued to try and commit this arson. So supposedly a passerby who's never been identified took some snow and put the fire out. They got the door open. The person, the apartment building people never called police. They didn't call the fire department. They reported it on Twitter the day after it happened. And the police are commenting on the tweets yeah. saying, hey, can you call us about
the arson?
This?
Yeah, the arson squad guy. It's like, hey, you know, please give us a call so yeah. we can find out what happened with this arson. And I mean, to be fair, because you have to be fair, you can't just pick a side and, you know, do the same thing they're doing. Like, to be fair, if somebody legitimately tried right. to do that, for sure, yeah, catch them, put them in jail forever. I got no problem with that. I'm all for harsh oh, yeah. punishments. But it's like, no, it was all like it had to be a trucker guy. And apparently there was a picture. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because the person who made the tweet thread, yeah, I know, this blue-haired teenager doesn't really look like a trucker to me, but no. I'm not trying to assume what people look like. But the person who made this original tweet thread about this supposed arson has now added to that thread saying, well, you know, I can't confirm that they're a trucker, and I didn't really say they were a trucker. I said that I think that they might be associated with the protest. So there's already some backpedaling there. Honestly, if somebody tried to start a fire in your apartment building, like yeah. by all means, they should be arrested, charged, an investigation. If that didn't happen and that's something made
yeah,
up,
should be an
that
offense,
in itself
for
should
sure.
be a charge.
You know?
Yeah, because that's pretty serious. And, you know, regardless of how dug in you are on whatever side of the table you're on the entire debate or the feeling about this protest in Ottawa or whatever, you wasting resources of law enforcement and fire and other emergency services during this time or any time is
well vilifying people that have nothing to do with any of that stuff. That's like that's a problem, right? I mean, we've had so much of that yeah. that we're at each other's throats. You know, there's a guy I drove through a bunch of people in Winnipeg, and I mean, I looked at him like, this is exactly. Yeah. what Justin Trudeau and the rest of them, this is exactly what they wanted. They want us fighting with each other. They want us hating each other. And you know what? They're eventually they're going to get it because they have They're people that are breaking, right? They can't take all this stress. Their lives are upside down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They just, and here's Justin Trudeau sitting back wherever from his undisclosed location because he's afraid of the honking or the dancing or the bouncy castles, whatever his issue is. He can't go have a conversation with somebody. Like, that's not on the table, no matter what happens. But anyway, I could go on all day about that. But another great example, and I think the last one that we're going to talk about, is really important and right in our lane, some guy on Twitter, some guy that's always got constant, stream of tears rolling down his cheeks, holds some Twitter space. And it's like, we're under siege. We are, he just doesn't like these sieges or lockdowns, right? So this apparently now has become a problem for him here 2 years in because it's inconveniencing him, or he has to listen to some horns blaring. People are lost their livelihoods. They can't travel. Their relatives are dying alone in, extended care homes and in hospitals. It's like now it's like the honking. Now this is honkpocalypse for this guy,
privilege,
right? So he holds his Twitter space, and they're just stoking and stoking and stoking. And in fact, I listened. I captured almost the whole thing.
This is what happened. Yeah. So it was in a Twitter space called Our Ottawa, open forum for Ottawa residents who want our city back. And I actually saw it go live, and I started listening to it, but it was incessant whining, and I, was too busy celebrating other things. So I got out of there. But basically what it was is Matt Muirhead, who is a local high school teacher from Sacred Heart High School in Stittsville, which is the west end of Ottawa. He's frustrated with the noise and with the things going on. And he said it was his turn to talk. He had put his hand up. Now, this is in front of an audience of 28,000 Ottawa residents
fact check.
Listening.
The guy with the tears constantly streaming down his face, the host Cameron or whatever his name was, he kept saying the number of people that were in there. It was like 28,000 people that had listened to it at some point. But right then, it was like 2,000 people or something like that. Facts matter.
Okay.
At least us.
Facts matter. So what his exact quote of what he said was, this is a high school teacher, so keep that in mind, right? He says, I think there is a point in time where you take up arms to deal with the convoy protesters. And I know that sounds aggressive, maybe, but I want to know what I can do next. And then the host of the space, Cameron, replied, I think a lot of us here agree.
Yeah, well, he denounced it out. He's tried to smooth it over after, because a couple of times, and I captured all of the times, which I don't know if I have the energy, I'll put together a video. He called the truckers a virus infecting downtown. He called the truckers people who did poorly in school. I have that clip from him. The guy's a piece of trash, right? Like these people... It's just interesting, it's like I'm just better than everybody. If you don't agree with me, you're obviously just trash. And
and we should.
Well, he did his best to smooth over, because probably right away he was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And like, oh my God, he just said, should we shoot the truckers, basically. And it's just, it is really funny. Now he's in my lane. And it's really funny because it's always the people that have no capacity for violence, don't know what real violence looks like. These are always the ones calling for it. They're the people that have never gone to war. They're people don't know anything what a firearm does. They don't know. They have no training whatsoever. They're just the weakest people. I've said it before, and I'm going to reiterate. The weakest people tend to be the most dangerous. They're always the ones calling for force. They're always the ones calling for the government to perpetrate violence on people. And even they get so frustrated as this little freaking cupcake Matt to say, do we take up arms? I don't know. There's so many things I want to say right now, but I'm too responsible to say them. But,
Well, the thing that really bothers me, too, is he's exactly the type of person who would be cheering on the Liberal government, kicking in our doors and confiscating our firearms and looking down his elitist nose at us with all his privilege. But yet when somebody's honking and bothering him, he's the first one to talk about picking up a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And doing what?
Yeah.
Anyways, True North Center has picked up the story. They put an article out. I mean, you know, I get it. Sometimes you say things in the heat of the moment that you maybe didn't mean, but get a hold of yourself. You've got an online audience. The internet lasts forever. It's been deleted, but that doesn't matter. It still lives. And, you know, at the same time, hearing everybody in that, you know, nodding in agreement, like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sure we all feel that way. That's terrifying. These are people that they're my neighbors. They're people who are in charge of educating our children. They vote and they want to kill people. Yeah. Like yeah. That's,
you're, I don't you know, you're man. Honking. So when do we take up arms? He says, unbelievable.
Yeah. And like, what? Yeah. Yeah. And where are you going with that? You going to go down to the bouncy castles or are you going up to the dance party? Maybe the line dancing. Like, this is the disconnect between anybody who's actually walked down there to see what actually is going on. And somebody who's sitting at home, you know, pearl clutching, watching mainstream media, just going absolutely yep. insane in their own minds, thinking that it's some sort of
hate convoy, right?
Baloney.
Kennedy Stewart's
a hate convoy. Yeah. I don't know. When I spend the afternoon with people who are, you know, tens of thousands of people hugging each other and giving each other words of encouragement, and then mere hours later, I'm hearing raging leftists on a Twitter space talk about killing them. It's hard not to be entrenched in partisanship. Yeah, when that's
absolutely.
How people
and
behave,
I mean, that's,
right?
This is the result of, and people like Bernie Farber, right? The Canadian hate peddling.ca group, right? That gets, the hate peddlers gets $250,000, at least last year he did, or this year, I should say, from Trudeau to like have some anti-hate, but all they do is peddle hate. He gets caught trying to pass off a fake Nazi poster.
He put up a poster, you know.
Yeah, a friend of mine sent this to me. I was like, oh, a friend of yours, hey.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Use your platform and start putting up a bunch of fake stuff. These are the people, if there eventually is violence, it's not coming from the gun lobby. It's coming from people like them. Driving people insane by lying to them and intentionally manipulating their minds to the point where you have a high school teacher who's like, I'm ready to come down and start shooting. Oh, well, it's not what he said. So I don't want to be one of those people. When do we take up arms? That's, you know, to be,
well,
yeah,
what
to
do
be
you
clear.
Think
well,
that
I know,
means?
But I don't want to be like these other people where, you know, they're paraphrasing and they're, you know, making everything more incendiary than it is. But I mean, he's like, yeah, when do we take up arms to get rid of these truckers? Once and final solution stuff. That's, you know, this is where that comes from. It's people like Bernie Farber post stuff like that. And then he's like, oh, you know, oh, maybe I didn't realize. And it's like, well, you just posted a Nazi poster and said that it was downtown Ottawa. You know, like that's a problem.
Did you?
And the mainstream media give them a platform every opportunity they can. Every opportunity, even when stuff's not even about like hate or anything like that. It's like, oh, you know, Evan, whatever his name is from anti-hate and Bernie from anti-hate. And it's like, well, why are you shoehorning them into that story? Like, where's all the hate crimes? You know, like there's, I'm not the one that made this up. They've said, but it's one of the most accurate truisms out there. It's when the demand for hate outstrips the supply. Enter mm-hmm. people like that. They're like, well, you need some hate? Okay, here, hold on. I got to, you know, oh, a friend of mine sent this to me. I don't know. But anyway, well, thanks for going down there.
I think at the end of the day, the best advice I got all weekend long was from that speaker who said, just give each other a word of encouragement. You know, you're doing great. You're doing awesome. And hang in there. And that's the message.
Yeah. Well, like I said, thanks for going down there and figuring out what's really going on, like the reality. I've shown some clips while we were talking. So you can see the stuff that you personally captured there. Not that's floating around the internet. You captured with your phone yourself.
That's right.
Anyway. Wow. What a crazy bunch of lunatics running around this place.
Crazy.
Anyway, try to keep your head on, everybody, from this craziness. But, you know, we're doing, obviously, this is not our mandate, is to report from the front of the trucker convoy. But it's such a microcosm. You know, it's such a macrocosm into the microcosm, which is our lives. So it was kind of worth talking about in that from that perspective. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Absolutely.
This was an emergency broadcast to talk about some really urgent news. But we'll get you back on the regularly scheduled podcast soon. Thanks for doing that, Tracy.
All right. We'll see you soon.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 109 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I just want to thank everybody, if you watch this video, for spending this time with us. There's a lot of things to watch right now. And, the podcast usually long is like 45, 50 minutes. I know I just put one up. But if you watch this video, thanks for watching it and just kind of hanging out with us. I really appreciate it. I also want to say thank you to all the people that have been supporting the CCFR as members or have donated. And I appreciate that because I've had to pay a couple big invoices recently, and there's a couple more to come. We had to pay our annual insurance, which is like 200 and some odd $1,000, because as a member, you get insurance. And then once you get this member count starts to get high, these are big bills. So I always have anxiety about being able to finish paying for projects that we launch and having the money and taking the risk of launching new projects. So for all of you that are making all of the stuff that we do possible, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it. Okay. Other than that, I know times are crazy. Take care of each other. Focus on what's important. Do the right things when you can. And I think we'll get through this, and we'll have a ton of stories to tell in the next few years. Like, hey man, you should have seen what 2022 was like. You know, they're going to make good stories when all this is over, and, you know, we can all start living the way that we're meant to live, like the way that we lived, 10, 15, 20 years ago. We'll get there. We'll get there. Just don't let it get to you. Okay. Thanks for watching, everybody. And we will see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.